Good evening. Welcome to Vespers. My name is Scott Kirshner. I am the village pastor here at Holden. And I hope that you grabbed a little piece of paper on your way in. Some of them are yellow, some are white. There are a few different shapes. And that is the one prop you'll need for our service tonight. And I'll explain that as we move into our service. But I hope you have one of those. If you didn't get one, they are by either entrance by the candle burning there. Also, we're going to be projecting some words onto the screen up here. It's a short refrain, but if you can scoot in a little bit, I encourage you to do so you can get your eyes on the screen. It doesn't take getting too far in. We tested it out, but those of you on the outer flanks there might have a hard time reading. And our service tonight will get us up and moving a little bit. So to just be aware that we're not going to be staying in our seats the whole time, but we're going to be up and moving a little bit. But we're going to begin with our opening song led by Ray.
We'll frame our reflection tonight with a song called Web of Beauty by Brett Hesla from Minneapolis. We'll sing the refrain of the song. I'll sing it through once, and then we'll sing it through a couple times together. So if we could have that on the board. Thank you. It goes like this. Praise to God who has spun the threads of being and turns the universe before my eyes, who has woven this tangled web of beauty that binds me to the earth and sky. Praise to God who has spun the threads of being and turns the universe before my eyes, who has woven this tangled web of beauty that binds me to the earth and sky. Praise to God who has spun the threads of being and turns the universe before my eyes, who has woven this tangled web of beauty that binds me to the earth and sky.
Please pray with me. O radically incarnate one, lead us, we pray, into the depths of human life, into the joy and struggle, into the beauty and pain. And may we encounter there the depth of your love for this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight's Vespers has a theme of seeing. And you hopefully have in your hands a piece of paper. And in a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to get up out of your seats and look at the four paintings that are in different places in the room here. These two up front on either side of the Ray Ray Dose, we call that. There's one along the back wall, the green and brown, and one in front of the stage. And if you have a yellow piece of paper, I invite you to pay attention to color as you look at the paintings. If you have one that is white and square, I invite you to pay attention to light. And if you have one that is kind of octagonal shaped, I invite you to pay attention to form as you look at the paintings. And as we go and view the paintings, we will be accompanied by some instrumental music. And when you hear the song that we just sang begin again, you're asked to then join in singing and return to your seats. And so with that, I invite you to get up and I hope this can be a meditative time where we move kind of silently through the space and don't crowd terribly so that people have a chance to see things and move through the space. And as we do so, bear in mind thinking about color and light and form. Thank you. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 22 to 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks. This passage is from the Sermon on the Mount. And at first blush, to me, it has always made no sense at all. That is until recently. I can understand how the eye can be like a window. Light passes into our eyes, or to take the simile further, like a camera. Light enters through the cornea, the image is made on the retina, and then the brain reads the image. We understand that, but this strange passage reverses all that, calling the eye a lamp. Something that is giving off light instead of receiving it. That seems to make no sense to how we understand the eye works. But it turns out that this passage reflects an ancient understanding of optics that is pretty different from our own. The ancients thought that the eye possessed an inner light that was directed outward from the body. And then that inner light interacted with the light out there in the world, and from this an image was created. And so that's where that passage comes from. And there are other places in ancient writings where we hear the same thing. And I was alerted to this in reading one of my favorite writers, David James Duncan, in which he's quoting Plato here, and he's writing about this passage in Matthew's Gospel. But he's also here thinking about how Plato says virtually the same thing. And so Duncan writes, "When the gods put together the human body," Plato writes, "they placed," quote, "in the vessel of the head a face in which they inserted organs to minister in all things to the providence of the soul. Of these organs, they first contrived the eyes to give light." Not to receive light, but to give it. And as the Timaeus, that's the Plato's work, the Timaeus has it, "the gods made," quote, "the pure fire which is within us to flow through the eyes in a stream smooth and dense. When the outer light of day meets the inner light that proceeds from us, and the two lights coalesce upon an external object, the result is the perception that we call sight." Now, it all sounds very strange, because that's plainly not how we, in our scientific understanding, know the eye to work. And yet I think there's still some truth to this, because to really see something, for something to really be in our attention so that we focus ourselves on it and become really aware of something, we must project ourselves outward toward it. Our inner light, if you will, our attention toward it. The Theological Symposium this week has as its theme radically incarnate God. And this notion of incarnation is something that passes for heresy in virtually any other theistic religion. The notion that God is made known in the flesh and stuff of human life and experience. And that to know God, we must journey into the stuff, the carne, the meat, incarnation of this world. And to extend ourselves into this world with the fullness of our inner light, into the fullness of human experience is then to bring our attention, our awareness, our seeing to it. There's a quote on your sheet there, on your little piece of paper, from a philosopher a few of us have been reading, where he talks about the importance of things becoming visible to us, things that we may perhaps have been blind to before. Liberation struggles politically in this past century have often been about unsettling and redirecting the way we see. As Brad, our potter, has pointed out in the presentation he gave, that striking sanitation workers in Memphis in 1964 had the slogan, "I am a man." The point was, see me. I'm a human being, worthy of all that human beings deserve. Or in the early days of the gay rights movement, we're queer, we're here, get used to it. Again, the point is, see us. We're human beings, just like you. You've been blind to us before, but you won't be anymore because now we're in your field of vision. And then there are the healing stories about blindness in the Gospels, which are about so much more than the healing of an organ of the body, but about the inner light of seeing the world in a brand new way, in light of the unconditional love of God for all people, made known through Jesus. And so seeing this radically incarnate God unsettles our vision and invites us to see in new ways. These paintings, I hope, can be an opportunity to do that too. They're abstract, and so they invite us and challenge us to creatively and playfully see and question ourselves as to what we see there and even be surprised at what we encounter. I was just surprised to find yellow in that blue painting. I never knew it was there. So if the eye of the lamp, if the eye of the body is the lamp, sorry, did I say that wrong? If the eye is the lamp of the body, as you were looking just moments ago, what did your eye lamp see? What did you not see? What did you feel? How do you react, or did you react to what you found there? So I want to invite you to turn to someone next to you, and with three phrases or words, speak or share with them what you saw in your viewing of the paintings just moments ago, or what you felt, what you experienced, how you reacted to what you saw. Let's take 30 seconds, a minute, to do just that. Turn to someone next to you and share with them what you saw. I invite you to please stand. We sing Simple Things Are Holy.
I think sitting would be better. It's kind of a meditative. Thank you. But that was good. You just kind of fluffed your vertebrae there. I invite you to sing the chorus of this as you pick it up.
Brother, sister, take your time, go slowly. Listen very carefully. Simple things are holy.
If you could try that, brother, sister.
Brother, sister, take your time, go slowly. Listen very carefully. Simple things are holy.
Nice.
The shape of a cat and the smile of a stranger, a loved one asleep in no fear of danger. Brother, sister, take your time, go slowly. Listen very carefully. Simple things are holy. The careless glory of the young and the grace of old lovers. The trail of geese across the sky and the hawk that hovers. The painful apology and the welcoming pardon. The first crocus of the spring, the overflowing garden. Oh, brother, sister, take your time, go slowly. Listen very carefully. Simple things are holy. The head sinking in despair, the hand on the shoulder, the tear of the lonely one and the arms that hold her. Good friends wrestling in the park, the wild shouting laughter, the low moaning in the dark, the sweet silence after. La la la. In wonder, oh brother, sister, take your time, go slowly. Listen very carefully. Simple things are holy. Oh, brother, take your time. And sister, go slowly, yeah. Listen very carefully. Simple things are holy.
Let's pray. Radically incarnate one, may our eyes be for us lamps that extend out into our world to see what we had not seen before, to encounter the depth of experience and life, the beauty and joy, the pain and sorrow and struggle. And so there, may we encounter your love, which gives life and brings us with all your people from death to new and risen life. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace to see, to love, and serve the Lord.